Greetings, it's Bikescape, episode number 57, and it's January 30th, 2007. Welcome to Bikescape, everybody. Coming to you live from the San Francisco Public Library, the only quiet place I could find this afternoon. There's a French class going on in the study booth next to me, and you might be able to hear them practicing their conjugation. I wanted to talk this week about Octavia Boulevard here in San Francisco. It's a beautiful boulevard. I did a podcast almost 2 years ago about it. You can check out the March 2005 archives on the blog, bikescape.blogspot.com. There used to be a big double-decker freeway going over the Market Street, and it cut right into the Hayes Valley and divided the neighborhood and brought all sorts of blight, hookers, crack, drugs, dark shadows, scary little corners, and it divided the neighborhood in two since 1957, 58 or so. And it was just a stub of a freeway. And the reason it was a stub is because the Great Freeway Revolt kept it from turning into a bigger monstrosity. But in 1989, we had a big earthquake. And it wasn't the big one, and it only lasted 15 seconds, but it was enough to change transit history here in San Francisco. One of the things, it brought down two freeways, two double-decker freeways, actually three freeways. Two of them were never rebuilt, and one is rerouted so it doesn't divide a neighborhood over in the East Bay in Oakland. This one, the Central Freeway, after three elections, we brought it down, and we replaced it with this beautiful boulevard, Octavia Boulevard, and is just starting to grow in now. There's still a lot of building that has to be done along the sides. There's all these lots that have to be put in. But it's quite an improvement. Of course, with everything that happens in politics and in transit, there's a compromise involved. And the compromise that we all settled for, those of us who wanted to pull down the freeway, was that we would have the freeway touch down at Market Street and become the boulevard after it crosses Market Street. We all knew it would be a problem, but we decided to do it. This is the best we could do it given the political situation. And we went for it and decided to try and do something to mitigate the problems when it was after the building of the boulevard. So now what you have is a totally multimodal Market Street, and you got just as many bicycles and pedestrians and transit users as car drivers. And plopping right down in the middle of it all is a freeway. Fast traffic coming in and suddenly having to slow down to city speeds. Now, just about 2 weeks ago, a woman named Margaret Timbrell got T-boned by a car taking a right turn across the bike lane, an illegal right turn into the entrance of the freeway ramp, and drove away. Didn't seem to know that he had hit her, but he must have. I mean, he ran right over her, literally broke all of her ribs and punctured a lung and broke about 20 different bones. And thankfully, she's going to live, and she's probably going to recover completely, but at least physically. So anyway, people were pretty upset about this, and we had a protest down at the Bicycle Coalition organized it, and about 60, 70 people showed up at the corner of Octavia and Market Street. between 8 and 9 during the rush hour last Friday. So I'm going to take you there, and we'll just sort of walk around the protest and talk to various people and get a lot of comments, and see you at the other end of that. All right. That's the sound of the F Market. He's using his microphone to tell some cars to get out of the streetcar-only lane. Chronic problem on Market Street. The streetcars are all slowed down by all the cars. So it's 8 o'clock in the morning now. We are, like, totally chock-a-block with cars on Market. I'm standing at the corner of Market and Guerrero, one block up from the intersection in question, just looking at the traffic. It's totally gridlocked. And then the traffic coming up from Guerrero is waiting, and there's just cars everywhere. And they're all coming from various parts of the city. Probably most of them on trips of less than 5 miles. Easily bikeable or transitable. But there's something about California where people just feel that's the only option. Even when there are options. I just don't get it. So I'm going to start walking down towards Octavia. And this morning they have a electric sign out saying, "No right turn to freeway. Use Gough Street." That's new. So, Bike Coalition has its banner. The TV's here. The cops are here. The street is pretty full of people hanging out. One guy's got a sign that says, "Police, do your job." Should I talk to my microphone?
Sure.
What do you think a safe intersection would be here? What's your name, Chris?
I'm John Murphy.
Hey.
I don't know. I think, you
know, you're not a traffic engineer,
think,
I understand.
Well, yeah, I'm not a traffic engineer. I mean, I almost think there needs to be, like, a clear separation here at this spot.
This is where you're looking down at the bike lane, and then there's a right, there's a no-turn lane.
You know,
lane.
I mean, what I deal with on my commute south, there's a spot where they've, in order to keep cars away from cars, have put a series of poles on a stripe, and it's an extremely dangerous condition for bikes. Maybe they can do that for the bikes here and actually put separation so they can't get across here. I mean, there's, you know, like actually raised poles with a like a speed bump on where the stripe is.
Uh-huh. I'm like a rumble strip almost.
I'm not a traffic engineer, but I mean,
just collecting suggestions.
Yeah, I mean, keep them from actually being able to get over at this spot.
Yeah. Yeah. All right. So, thanks.
Yep.
Hey, John.
Hi. It's Nancy Botkin.
Yeah, dawdling on your way to work.
Yeah.
For a good cause.
Yeah, I got it.
This is a great turnout.
Yeah, it's not bad. How many people would you say there are?
Oh, 60? 70?
Yeah, not bad.
At least, yeah.
Not counting the press and the cops. And,
and I'm usually early, so that means these people are really early.
What made you leave work and come down here today?
I guess it's such a no-brainer. Well, I think it's partly also Andy Thornley showed you the really cool doctored-up photos they took some photos of this intersection. They painted, they changed the color of the lane, and they did some things like that.
Oh, colored
and
bike lanes.
Yeah, they made colored bike lanes in the photos. And It seemed so, like such a simple solution that would give give the drivers a lot of indication that they shouldn't be crossing that.
Yeah, maybe a little bumpy area that would be okay to ride your bike over, but would make some noise when you drive your car over.
Yeah,
too.
Yeah. Though Andy also said, like, they had a meeting with the mayor a year ago, and he was like, "Looks great. I'm sending a letter to Nat Ford, and they'll do it." And they never did it.
He talks a good line, doesn't he?
Well, one of them does, or yeah. Two of them. I don't know which one. Hi, and this is the man who made the great song, the great photos.
Oh yeah, we have a little display here.
Do you know Riyadh?
No, I don't.
John.
Hi. Hey,
John.
Hi. How you doing?
Good. Good to meet you.
You got photos of colored bike lanes. You use Photoshop or something to change them?
Yeah, they're just ideas of what we could do to make the intersection a little safer. So.
Are those available online now?
I think they might be available on the Bike Coalition's website, but I don't know. Yeah. I give it to them, and they make the posters.
So how did you come up with the plan? You just basically just colored the bike lanes in these pictures, right?
Well, all of the ideas are ideas that have been floating around the Bike Coalition, and so I just create a visualization of it so that people can see the idea, you know, what it might actually look like.
Oh, okay. Your name's Riyadh?
Yeah.
Oh, pleased to meet you.
Nice to meet you, too.
All right. Supervisor Bevan Dufty's here.
No pacifier. You want a pacifier?
Bevan's here with his little baby, all dressed in pink. And there's a reporter from Channel 7 asking him questions.
It's really tough. What can the city do?
Well, for starters, I asked Muni to put up an electronic signboard, and it is here, and I think that's a very visible warning to the drivers not to make right-hand turns. And any city's about balance. You know, when we developed Octavia Boulevard, it is a beautiful boulevard, but it's complicated to bring a freeway ramp down on Market Street. And I think the trade-off was that we said, this being the busiest bicycle route, we can't have right turns. Motorists are just not going to be attentive, and there's just no comparison between a car and a bicycle. So I think we've worked on that. Now we're going to have to look at either additional engineering, enforcement. I've raised the question that our red light camera program, our photo enforcement program, has been tremendously successful. I mean, we see 70 to 80% less red light running where there's a camera.
And how expensive would that be?
Oh, it's not an issue of cost. We actually need state legislation because we only have approval to use it for red light running. And so we're in discussion with Sacramento right now to see about a legislative change that would let us do that.
How soon would that come about?
It would probably take several months. So, I mean, it is challenging. And I think that there are just a lot of options we need to put on the table, and the Bicycle Coalition obviously cares. A lot of its members and riders come down here, and I think we've just got to all work together and do the best we can.
Last question, the meeting. What are you going to talk about the February 13th meeting?
We're going to bring parking and traffic and our transportation authority together, and look, they've been analyzing traffic patterns and looking at what's happening here. One of the blog sites yesterday said that for every second light change, somebody made an illegal turn. It's quite a bit of activity here, and it is complicated because when you're on the street, it's San Francisco Police Department, and you turn, it's California Highway Patrol. So it is complicated. I want to say that I visited the young woman in SF General. She is doing much better, and it really is a miracle that she's going to recover. I mean, this could have been a fatality, and we can't let that happen.
Well, let's go talk to District 5 Supervisor Ross Mercarini. Hey, Ross.
Hey, what's good, man?
Hi.
What's good?
Bikescape. You want to, you have any ideas what to do about this intersection?
Well, I think it's being well laid out here today. It's demonstrated by the fact that there needs to be a more than glowing sign that says no right turn. There has to be, I think, constant enforcement, and frankly, examples need to be made. I think that this was a tragedy waiting to happen when the bicyclist, her name is Margaret, was hit, almost killed, was laid up in the hospital with practically every cracked rib.
Really?
Who's a constituent of mine, by the way, District 5. You know, that there's going to be more of this unless San Francisco attitudinally corrects itself about making pedestrians and bicyclists more than just second-class citizens. And I think that is well played out even here at this intersection.
There was some talk about putting in a camera to catch people. What do you think of that?
Well, it's a fair idea, but I haven't seen cameras work that well, frankly.
You don't get a lot of convictions out of them, do they?
No, you don't. I mean, you don't on homicide, so you don't really do it on, I think, vehicular accidents or manslaughter. Maybe you will. Hell, if you can for those, then you should for homicides.
How about pouring some concrete? Maybe actually separating the bike lane out, you know, maybe putting some kind of
an interior barrier.
Yeah.
Well, almost similar to what we have over here across the street.
Where you have,
we have a protected
road,
barrier in an in-service road. I think it's a solid idea.
Yeah.
I really do. I also think eventually this ramp should be pulled all the way back.
To DeBose or Bryant.
Yeah.
That would be great. That was the original.
We should revisit the original plan. I mean, it's obviously like 10 years probably down the road,
yeah.
But as we know, as major capital restructuring like this occurs, start the conversation now and make it happen. I think that the ramp here, because it's such a natural instinct for people to want to turn right, even though they never had that right turn to begin with when there was the ramp before. for.
Yeah.
You know, why should they change habits?
But well, there was some opposition to making a no right turn.
Yeah.
It wasn't there.
Yeah.
People thought, well, there's a freeway here. We just built it. Why can't we take a right turn on
right.
it? Well,
and my predecessors correctly and other members of the board correctly made it the no right turn. But I think the wrinkle was is that they didn't keep the vigilance to enforce it, which is why people were skirting and cheating the law. And people are suffering for it.
What about other ideas like maybe putting in a some more visual cues to that there's not much room to move? Because right now you have these sight lines that go all the way across the street and down. It makes it look like you can go really fast. There are various traffic calming measures that I guess could be taken to just close off those sight lines and make things a little more complicated to get through this intersection.
When you say, because I like the idea of things going really fast for bicyclists, so you're talking about for automobiles,
yeah,
that they
right.
have their sight lanes, yeah. Absolutely. I mean, if you can slow it down for them, but I mean, it would be thrilling to see more of an expressway for bicyclists, frankly.
Well, it's kind of what it is now,
yeah.
actually. I think many days the bicycles, it doesn't look like it, but the bicycles actually outnumber the cars and the passengers anyway.
Oh, it's true. Like, dogs outnumber it, you know. No, it's true. But, again, I think it's more attitudinal, that unless the city's going to crack down on those who sort of deny and compromise bicyclists and pedestrian rights, we're going to continue to see more of this. In the meantime, I agree, having maybe an in-service road and have the in-service road go across
right.
where it breaks here and then resumes if need be. And that will sort of train people to do the right thing. I see no other way to make it happen, so I think it's going to have to
probably
require some physical improvements.
A lot of physical, different
physical
angles all
yeah.
at once, you know, working together. All right, well, thanks.
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, it's not just here. It's also down here. I mean, Octavia...
Looking up Octavia here, yeah.
Completely. I mean, there's a lot of afterthoughts to Octavia in itself, so...
Overall, it was a great thing.
Oh, completely.
The neighborhood is just so much more improved now, isn't it?
It's an exemplar for the rest of the, you know, I think urban planning nationwide. You want to get rid of a freeway? This is the way to do it.
Yeah.
You know, and look at the great consequences as a result of it.
And the lessons to be learned from it are, I guess, the negative lesson only is that, you know, you have to watch where you touch the freeway down.
That's right.
That's always the problem.
Yeah, but I truly like the idea of just scaling it back. I mean, a lot further back. The original plan.
Yeah.
You said it was DeBose. It was Bryant, though.
I wasn't sure.
I think it's Bryant.
Yeah.
It goes all the way back to Bryant. I think it just seemed a little probably too radical for the people at the time.
Yeah, well, there was a lot of... We had to go through three elections to get this. And it,
yeah, we did.
So
yeah, we did.
A lot of,
but, I mean, if you think about the after dollars, the auxiliary programs that are being funded for the groups on this side of... Market Street to deal with the aftermath of Octavia Boulevard, they're feeling cheated that they didn't get the boulevard themselves. And rightfully so. You know? And I think that in order to sort of respect their aspirations for their own neighborhood, we should have a more robust discussion about pulling it back.
I think of how DeBose, or 13th Street, whatever you call that street, think of how that would be. It would be another boulevard.
It would be lovely.
Yeah.
Especially underneath the freeway pass there.
Yeah.
Just, I mean, imagine that not being there in some
yeah.
ways.
Yeah.
That'd be a good campaign.
Yeah. Where's Robin Levitt? Where he's in here right now.
That's right. He probably should be. Where's he? Right, good seeing you.
Awesome. Thank you.
Right,
thanks
good.
A lot.
No, you're wrong.
Is that you, Bert? Oh,
mm-hmm.
Hey, Bert. How you doing?
Hi, how you doing? Yes, I am Bert. Nice today.
Well, fine. I wasn't so sure.
How's it going?
Fine. We still haven't done our little podcast about bike education.
No, we haven't. Oh. Let's see. When's a good time?
Well, we're recording right now. But
oh, okay. All right. Let's see. This is kind of hitting me cold on this.
Well, whatever.
What do you want me to say about it? You want to ask me questions?
I want to ask you about this.
Okay. All right.
Tell me what you think about this intersection. Is there anything, from a bicycle educator's point, you're a bicycle educator, you teach the, what do you teach every?
Well, from a bicycle educator's point, obviously what we teach is defensive bicycling as part of it. So this isn't to say that there isn't a real problem with what the automobiles are doing with illegal right turns, but there are things that bicycles can do also. Certainly one of the things is, as you're coming down, move out to the outer edge of the bike lane. So you start to take the lane. That forces vehicles that are going to make that turn to move to the inside, to the right, you know, naturally, and not get in your way. Since this is well known, one of the safest things to do is to learn the route that you're riding and learn what the dangers are and be conscious of it. For people who commute every day, a lot of us are pretty much aware that this is a dangerous intersection, so we're very very attentive, you know, as we go in for cars that are making that, you know, looking for the vehicles that are making that turn so that we can try to avoid them. I think the third thing that we can certainly do is to certainly obey the law, you know, not go through red lights, you know, not make any do anything wrong in terms of running through it when it's yellow, because that's when people aren't expecting,
right,
just to run into a bicyclist. Other than that, just being somewhat careful, maybe a little bit slower as you enter.
That's point all the time. Yeah.
Yes, watching all the time.
So what class do you teach?
I teach the adult bike ed program that the city of San Francisco has a grant to the Bicycle Coalition for. And there's two parts to it. One is called Street Skills, and it really just goes through all the principles. It's a 4-hour course. It's pretty intensive, and it's reinforced with videos as well as discussion and presentation. The second part of the course, which is 6 hours long, is actually going through some of the light mechanics of bicycles, not so much maintenance, but emergency flat tires, that sort of thing. And then we take people out on the streets of San Francisco on a Saturday afternoon, and we practice.
Which is when some of the worst traffic is.
That's right.
It's some of the worst traffic.
You also get people who maybe aren't you know, don't drive as much during the week. But what we do is we take people out after the full instruction, a little bit lighter first, but then heavier, and have them practice what they've learned in the first class. And they find that a lot of the things that seem kind of non-intuitive, you know, like riding in traffic, you know, staying off the sidewalk, is actually the safest way to be. And as they ride it and they try the techniques, they discover that it really works.
And taking the lane when there is no bike.
Taking the lane, exactly. When to take the lane, when not to. How to signal in advance, when to move over to the left lane. You know, doing it when there's sufficient space. Not trying to do it by bicycle time, but try to anticipate how a vehicle driver, a motorist, is considering you, looking back on you. And if you do things predictably, you rarely have a problem either with motorists or anybody. It really works out well. It's where you do these kind of last minute unpredictable things that a lot of problems are created.
Yeah, bicycles have like a different way of moving around sometimes.
That's
that
right.
Can be very jittery to some people.
And that's an important point. That's called the assertiveness principle. And assertiveness means when you're riding, you set a point, you stick to it, your predictable behavior tells everyone that you know what you're doing.
Right.
So.
All right. Well, thanks.
Yeah, get some.
When's the next sign up for the next class?
Well, they can go to the Bike Coalition website, sfbike.com, sfbike.org, and that leads you to, under resources, is the Bike Ed program. And when we have them posted, we don't have them posted for this year yet, but they'll be posted.
We'll put a link on the blog.
Electronically, yeah.
All right, well, thanks. All right. All right. Here he comes.
All right.
Talk to me.
All right, good morning. Bikescape. Good morning, Bikescape.
Hey, Rob.
Hello. Wow, what a morning. What a morning. A really great response. Ana Valencia, good morning.
Hi,
howdy,
good
howdy.
Morning.
Yeah, we've got cyclists, we've got pedestrians, we've got seniors, we've got just plain neighbors and citizens out here making a scene, letting the city know this is not tolerable.
Yes.
And we're doing a little enforcement, citizen enforcement. Not really vigilante enforcement, kind of old school crossing guard enforcement. Yeah.
Oh, I didn't see that.
Yeah.
Oh, people trying to cross the street on the.
Yeah, we've got citizens out there with handheld stop signs, making sure that motorists don't make that naughty turn onto the freeway, which is always illegal.
So, what's the SFBC plan for this?
Well, it's the plan that we've had for years, which we've been bugging the city about. Everything from colored pavement for the bike lane as it continues through the intersection. And we've got nice images that we've showed the mayor. The mayor is keen on it. He told MTA, I want to see this happen, and they haven't done it. We'd like better signage. There are a lot of signs up now, but there's still a really important sign missing at this intersection, and that is one that tells people, no freeway entry here. Go to Goff, a block or two ahead. Folks that are sitting here in a car might reasonably say, this is my last chance to get on the freeway. And the city hasn't put up the sign that says, not here, but go to Goff. And without that sign, there are a lot of people who might get confused and just panic and turn onto the freeway. So I think also camera enforcement is a really good idea as part of the mix. If people were making this turn naughty and they got home and there was a $200, $300 ticket in their mailbox, that might train them off of it.
Right.
So I think it's a mix of all those things, signage, marking, enforcement.
What about concrete, pouring concrete? What kind of ideas would you have for that?
Pouring concrete, we are recommending...
If you had an unlimited budget.
Yeah, if we had an unlimited budget, what I would do is put in pneumatic bollards. I would block that freeway ramp in an on-off kind of a thing. When the light was green for southbound traffic, the barrier would drop and people could drive over it. When the light was red, then the bollards would go up, and there wouldn't be any possible way you could turn your car on there. Or the little teeth. Yeah, those. Yeah.
Oh, severe tire damage.
Severe tire damage. Do not back over. Yeah. I think there are some physical barrier options that are plausible, and so if money was no object, and it shouldn't be any object because they spent lots of money on this already, I think there's some very plausible physical barrier ideas, and that would be very complete. We wouldn't have to spend money on cops. We could get rid of the camera system. That might not be a bad investment.
And all of this, of course, is blocked by the junction right now.
We're not sure, actually. There is, of course, a writ that is stopping the city from implementing any physical improvements for bicycle safety or circulation because we're not sure of the environmental impact of safe bicycling in the city. But some of these things that we're talking about wouldn't necessarily be blocked by that writ because it's a pedestrian safety issue. If we just talk in terms of pedestrians who are threatened by the cars making that turn and protecting pedestrians, I think we could be making those changes on their behalf, even if we don't bring bikes into this at all.
It's extremely unfriendly to pedestrians right here.
It's very unfriendly. This is part of why when we talk to people about why is that turn forbidden, why can't a car turn onto the freeway here, we say, well, if you permitted some kind of turning and you had a bike lane that was safe for bikes, it would still be very dangerous for pedestrians. Even if we make this intersection work a little better for bicycles, the pedestrians, as always, are the low man on the totem pole. They get the last consideration. So we really need to be thinking about the pedestrian safety at this intersection even more than the bicyclist safety.
What else? Oh, there's a meeting coming up. You said Gavin Newsom liked your ideas, and I understand there's a meeting that's coming up soon.
I've not heard about that. You may have scooped me on that.
Oh, well, we'll find out about it.
I hope that the mayor is ready to act on this. We've asked Nat Ford, the head of MTA, to engage and step up some of the work that we've asked them to do. We've come to the MTA and the mayor over and over again in the last several years about this intersection.
Yeah, and they've been friendly to it for a long time.
Yeah, everyone says, oh, yeah, but we need to go past yeah, and get on with the action. We need some physical action here. So
Bevan Defty just said that there's a meeting with MTA and the Transportation Authority. And
yeah, the County Transportation Authority will be meeting on, I think it's the 13th of February.
Oh, okay.
And that's
it's on the agenda.
It's on the agenda. There's a regular, it's the Plans and Programs Committee of the Transportation Authority, just to get wonky on you. And Supervisor Dufty, as a commissioner on the Transportation Authority, called for a hearing on this and even recommended looking at traffic control devices and other things. The Transportation Authority is involved here because they are the agency that facilitated the planning of Octavia Boulevard. So you've got the MTA, which is the city's transportation agency. You've got the Transportation Authority, which is the county transportation interest. Of course, San Francisco is a city and a county at the same time. So we've got potentially twice as much attention and energy to put on this thing. So we should have this cleared up in a week or two, I figure.
What do you know about Mark? What's her last name? Margaret?
The Margaret woman? Timbrell. I just learned that the other day. I've not talked to her. We have had a hard time finding out anything. Now that we know her name, we're still being respectful of her privacy. We don't want to...
There's an article in the paper, so I guess
it's
public now.
Exactly. Now it's public, but I think, you know, we're very concerned and very sad and angry on her behalf.
Is there anything set up for contributions or help to, you know, I don't know, maybe she doesn't have medical insurance?
No, that's a great idea, and I think that's probably what we should do is we've already, you know, we're aware we should be helping, and that would be a great thing to do, so... Thanks for that idea, John.
More work for you, Andy.
Yeah, more work, but it's all good.
Andy Thornley, program director at the Bike Coalition. So Tom Radulovich and Dave Snyder and are standing around looking at some pictures of the intersection, some Photoshop pictures.
And the motherfuckers.
This one on the near side.
Wouldn't do it.
Even just the different material. But, like, you're right. If you raise it 3 inches, so you had to drive up on it, it would be fun. Kind of a slightly rolled curb.
So you get a little bump when you ride across.
Pardon me?
When you get a little bump when you drive onto it.
Yeah. So the texture changes underneath, or you're like, oh, wait, I'm intruding.
Yeah. Even in rainy weather, you'd feel that. So what kind of ideas were you talking about before I walked up?
Oh, well, sort of how do you fix this? And so this illustration is kind of a variant on that speed table idea that you raise the head crossing up to the level of the sidewalk. Uh-huh. But this is proposing that we raise both the bike lane and the ped crossing up a little bit so that motorists will really feel like they're intruding onto it.
I see.
Also, it'll also help motorists coming off the freeway if there's a bit of a rise in the ped crossing here to get the impression that, oh, wait, you're not on the freeway anymore.
I've actually never driven on this. Are there rumble strips or anything like that?
No.
Nothing to slow to.
No, and no this was one of the design flaws, and I think the designers fought, the TA and the designers really fought to try and calm traffic further back. So, you know, Caltrans has one standard, which is freeway standard, wide lanes, you know, no visual obstructions on the sides, all these things to encourage you to drive very fast. And so the idea was, could you further back on the freeway begin to do things, widen the median, narrow the lanes, you know, change the texture, you know, put landscaping in that start telling you, oh, wait, I'm transitioning to a street, I should slow down.
This is Caltrans we're talking about.
We're talking about. So unfortunately, yes, there's a line here, and it's Caltrans jurisdiction going back.
Yeah.
And so, yeah, Caltrans wouldn't allow it, because, again, they have the one standard, it was a cover your ass response.
What other kind of traffic calming could we do? What other kind of traffic calming could we do, like, to reduce
the
sight lines and whatever?
Yeah, you know, it's overhanging trees, landscaping, narrower lanes, change the pavement. Those sorts of things all work. Yeah. Things like change the texture underfoot, you know, rumble strips, spots, dots, whatever. Just sort of things that start, you know, encouraging you to slow down.
Yeah. Ross McCarimi was just offhandedly remarking that maybe now would be a good time to start the 10-year campaign to bring the freeway down at Bryant Street.
Yeah, hopefully it won't take 10 years, but yes, yes. Yeah, we have this city policy that says that it's city policy to study taking this all down, and when this not this new portion, but the portions Mission Street back to the
so there's a study going
junction.
On right now, or
no, there isn't. That's the problem.
It has to be funded, and
yeah, although it's policy, you know, and I worked with Bevan on the resolution. There's been no action on it. So, you know, we need to get the TA or somebody doing this study so that we have the alternative ready, studied, environmentally cleared, when Caltrans comes and says, we need to do this retrofit. Because if we don't have the alternative ready, if we want to go through this lengthy process, Caltrans will be able to game it. You know, they'll say, the freeway's falling down, you know, we need to retrofit right away, you don't have any time.
Yeah, that's what happened last time.
Yeah, it's an emergency, which is what they do constantly. So we need to be ready for them. We need to be proactive about the campaign to tear it down.
All right, well, thanks.
Yeah, you're welcome.
So it's not a realistic snapshot.
He said, he was here for an hour. So.
What did you think about the turnout today?
Oh, my God, it was amazing. I'm so impressed. I think this is a testament to how concerned people are about this intersection. And, you know, I'm impressed that, yes, there were a ton of bicyclists. That's great. But there were a lot of people from the neighborhood who are not bicyclists, folks who walk, who bus, who do drive, who came out to show their support, too. So really, it's not just a bike issue. It really is a neighborhood issue.
Hey, can you talk about the police response? The guy didn't get he said he didn't see them, but he didn't know he had hit a pedestrian, went over.
Sure. It's alarming, to say the least, that this driver at this point is not being charged with something more significant than no right turn or disobeying a no right turn sign.
So he left the scene of the accident, and then when he was pulled over, the police asked him about it. He said, I didn't know I hit anybody.
Apparently he says he didn't know. We've heard that witnesses agree he didn't see her. I don't know how that could be. You know, for one thing, as a driver coming down the street, how would you not notice a bicyclist to your right and then making a turn in front of her? I mean, and this problem isn't about this intersection. This problem is about every single street in San Francisco or anywhere. You can't, as a driver, you know, make a right, a turn in front of a bicyclist or a pedestrian.
Are you going to have any future events like this planned, or?
Well, I'm going to tell you, one thing we're doing is definitely showing up at the police commission. I mean, to your point about the crime, we're trying to figure out the date because they have a weird schedule. But definitely within the next few weeks, getting, hoping people will turn out at a police commission and complain. I mean, it just...
What's the date for that, the next one?
I don't know. That's okay. A problem. There is a police commission meeting January 31st, but it's next week, but it's a special camera or a meeting about cameras, security cameras, specifically in Central up in Vallejo.
Issue, yes.
It doesn't seem ideal for us to show up, so we're going to wait.
There's going to be a lot of people there.
Yeah,
to speak about
that. I don't want to kind of mix the messages, so we want to wait probably a week or two, show up at a regular meeting down at Hall of Justice where they're more general and that kind of thing. But I mean, you know this. It feels like deja vu that every time we know of a bicyclist who's, you know, God forbid, killed or severely injured, we have the same problem where the police and the DA's office often don't take it seriously. It's considered an accident automatically. When,
yeah,
you know,
keep in touch.
Thank you. Take care. You know, time and time again, we don't know if it was an accident.
Yeah.
And we, you know,
I'm not gonna make the jump to say that it was an assault or anything, or an attempted murder or anything.
But, it doesn't sound as bad as Chris's.
But the hit and run aspect of it. I mean, they basically just took the driver's word. Oh, yep. I didn't know what happened, but they must have heard something hit his car.
And what kind of message does this, and it worries me the most, what kind of message does this send drivers across the city if you can do this and get away with it? You know, what would you do? Okay, if you ever hit anyone in a car, keep going and pretend you didn't see them. That's the message.
It's that's exactly it. It's giving you like a lesson on how to get away with it.
It's a terrible message. So, you know, could the police do something? We need to figure that out. If they really don't have the tools to charge, because I'm hearing that, I don't know that's true, but if they don't, then we need to go to the state legislature.
Well, there were witnesses, right? Did they interview any witnesses? Do we know?
This is totally word of mouth. They're not saying much. I'm not hearing much, but I'm hearing the witnesses said he didn't know. Now, how do they know that?
Yeah.
I mean, how do you, you're in a truck way up high, I assume. You look at their face or what? I mean, just because he kept going doesn't mean he didn't know.
Right.
He must have felt something. That's what I agree. Maybe you don't know it's a person, but don't you slow down and look? You're a professional driver.
Right.
And that whole piece comes in. I mean, they must have training. You know, this is not a brand new driver, I assume. It's a professional driver.
Professional truck driver, right.
Getting on a freeway. And
and as Leah suddenly gets cut off, we go into some really bad music. I apologize for that. Let's see. So how do we end this? I guess we should go to... I should tell you about this meeting that Bevan Dupte spoke about. February 13th, meeting of the County Transportation Authority Plans and Programs Committee. Now, the Transportation Authority here in San Francisco, they're the ones that dole out the money for transportation projects, and they're the ones that have the studies, the long-term studies, and they're way upstream. That's where all the projects start. And if anything gets the okay of the Transportation Authority, then it's going to happen. Each of the 11 Board of Supervisor members, who are also sort of what in San Francisco passes for the city, the town council, the supervisors are also members of the Transportation Authority. They're all commissioners on the Transportation Authority. And they're going to be meeting with MTA, the people that build the streets and run the transit, to see what can be done. They want the Transportation Authority staff to come out and update the committee on what steps are being taken to avoid illegal right turns by cars, and what additional steps can be implemented. And so the hearing is set for Tuesday, February 13th at 10 a.m. at the Transportation Authority's Plans and Programs Committee Room in room 263 at City Hall. So that's something you may want to show up for. I'll also keep an eye on the website. I don't have a date yet, but Leah spoke about getting together with the going to the police commission, the regular meeting, and raising some questions about why the driver wasn't charged. We want to get to the bottom of that, and why, where's the district attorney in all of this? So that'll be coming up soon, and anybody can speak at the police commission hearing if you can brave going into the Hall of Justice over on Bryant Street. It's an imposing, formidable building, but it's and there are no windows, and it feels like you're in jail. You practically are, and the jail's up on the top floor. And but there is such a thing as public comment, and you should take advantage of it. It comes in handy, and I think, and if the Bike Coalition has decided to have a hearing, they will be sending out press releases. There'll be press around, and we'll keep it in the public eye. Also, I wanted you to draw your attention to some of the great videos that are put on the they're on the SFBC website, and also the Bicycle Coalition now has a YouTube area where they have a bunch of videos of the intersection in question and some other intersections that involve Market and Valencia as well. And check it out. You can see exactly what we're talking about. And if you're in the city government here in San Francisco, you should look at that too, because it definitely illustrates exactly in a way that words can't do the actual problem that exists there. So go over to bikescape.blogspot.com, check out the blog, and links will be there for all of these things. I will also place links for the pictures are online of the Photoshop pictures that show the raised bike lane, the raised crosswalk, as well as the colored bike lane. And okay, so what else is happening around town? SPUR, the San Francisco Planning and Urban Research Group, is having their 80-year-old ancient group of people. But Dave Snyder's working there these days, formerly the ED of the Bike Coalition. They're going to have a forum called Creating Calmer Traffic. So if you work in the city and you have time during your lunch break, Tuesday, January 30th, from 12:30 to 1:30 p.m. at the SPUR offices. It's 312 Sutter Street at the corner of Grant. They're up on the fifth floor. And what are they saying? They're saying, we San Franciscans, like most people in the world, want fast and convenient roads when they drive, but slow and safe streets where we live. So that's the conundrum. San Francisco's traffic calming program manager, Manito Velasco, will discuss his division's attempts to balance these competing objectives, and he'll be joined by Susan Merkey, a resident of the Inner Sunset District, and a case study in successful balancing of competing objectives. It's free to SPUR members and $5 for non-members. Just in case you're worried about this, the Golden Gate Bridge West Sidewalk will be closed Wednesday, January 31st. They're going to be putting in a fiber optic cable, so bear that in mind. If you'd like to go meet people, other people of like mind, the Tube Times Folding Party is happening Wednesday, January 31st. That's tomorrow. I don't know, you may not get it by the time you hear this, but between 5 and 8 p.m. at the SFBC headquarters, 995 Market Street, up on the 15th floor. So it's printing. It's actually being folded at Inkworks, where I work right now, and I love doing that. And it's going to be out on Wednesday, ready for you to fold it up and stick it in the envelopes. Scott Stoll is going to be doing a talk about cycling around the world. He rode a bicycle around the world, and his quest took 4 years. He covered 25,752 miles exactly through 6 continents and 50 countries. He has many wonderful adventures as well as misadventures, like being run over in Vietnam. He was held hostage in Egypt, imprisoned in Zimbabwe, and trampled by elephants in Nepal. So Scott will share tales of his fascinating adventures along with practical advice for anyone contemplating a long-distance trek. That's $5. It's free for Hosteling International members. So you need to RSVP to 415-575-1500. And there'll be a link for more information. But it's the American Youth Hostel Organization's doing this. And that sounds like an interesting podcast. Maybe I'll get to meet the guy. Let's see. Oh, if you want to be in a Joe Breeze, who makes the wonderful Breezer bikes. There's another podcast for the future. He's doing an ad, and he's looking for people to be on his bikes. Want to be in a magazine with Joe Breeze on one of his famous Breezer bikes? Join Joe in House and Garden magazine for a photo shoot. Oh, House and Garden. Let's see. I believe her email is... Checking. Erica, E-R-I-C-A, _ Ackerberg, A-C-K-E-R-B-E-R-J, @ condenast.com, CONDENAST.com. Erica Ackerberg. Okay, what else? 17th Street Bike Lane Committee meeting. Join the SFBC's committee to win bike lanes on 17th Street, connecting the Castro Mission and Potrero. Help needed, please. For more info, contact the SFBC at, 431-BIKE in the 415 area code. Okay, and I'm actually coming in after the show was 99% done and editing this in because on my way home from the library, there was some guy handing out flyers for the 49-mile scenic ride, and it's a hell of a lot of fun. This is a do-not-miss kind of a thing. In San Francisco, we have these signs. Nobody knows who put them up. They've been up there for 50 years, of a seagull, and it says 49-mile scenic ride, and I guess you're supposed to drive around the city for 49 miles through traffic and look at the scenic sights of San Francisco. It's much more fun on a bike, and this has been going on for many years. Began by a bunch of messengers, I believe, and anybody's welcome. And let's see here. It starts at 9:30 a.m. On Saturday, February 3rd, at the Pool of Enchantment over by the new De Young Museum and the Music Concourse at Golden Gate Park. And it follows follow it from there. Let me see if there's a website. Let's see, if you have any questions on the day of the ride, you can call David on his cell phone at, I hope he doesn't mind this, 415-606-1452. And you can always contact Joe Corio with any questions or suggestions at 415-668-3126. Bring some pocket money, food for lunch, and all that stuff. You get to go through Japantown, Chinatown, North Beach, a lot of places to get lunch. Up to Coit Tower, where you can share your food. The Wave Organ, you can also eat there. Maybe a ride around Land's End, the Great Highway, around Lake Merced. Pre-sunset ice cream cone at Pollyanna's. All the great stuff that we just love. There is no website, so those are the phone calls. Saturday, February 3rd, 9:15 a.m. at the De Young Museum by the Pool of Enchantment in Golden Gate Park. Okay, well, I guess that brings us to the end of another Bikescape, another show in the can. So if you were looking forward to a show about Los Angeles and Midnight Riders, that'll definitely be the next one. This was breaking news, so I wanted to hurry this one up and get it in front. I had a great time down in L.A., met a lot of great people, as I said, and recently, and I'm really anxious to get the next podcast out. So if you have any questions about music, whatever, or if you have a tip, something that you think would make a good show, or a comment or a criticism, please let me know. The address is bikescape at sbcglobal.net. You can also leave comments on the blog, bikescape.blogspot.com. You can leave reviews at the iTunes site. You can dig me on dig.com. We're totally wired here at Bikescape. So listen, everybody have a great time for the next couple of weeks. The weather's starting to get a little warmer, at least around here. And keep that rubber side down, and don't forget to take the lane. Bye.
So you've got all of these problems. Well, I've got a way to resolve them. Just lend me your ears, dear, and hear me explain. All the troubles you have won't remain if you slow down, slow down. Ever now we need to take the time to get away. The world's always going to keep moving. So what on this earth are you proving? When nothing you could ever do could ever be a soothing answer, nothing is exactly what you're doing. So slow down.
Slow down.